Sprinter Sprightstown has climbed to number 2 on the 2012 General Sire list and to number 1 on the list by North American earnings. Haynesfield is a Grade 1 stakes winner by Sprightstown, and he stands at Airdrie Stud. Haynesfield won the Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup. He won a total of 8 stakes. He won at distances from 6 furlongs to a mile and a quarter. He met and defeated many of the top runners of his day, including champion Blame. In fact, he handed Blame his only defeat the year that Blame beat Zenyatta in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic. He won 10 of his 19 starts. He won a 2, 3, 4, and 5 every year he raced, and he earned more than $1,319,000. Haynesfield covered a full book of quality mares in his first season at stud, his first foal to do next year. Stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud, and the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
I labeled it good earlier. Well, good morning, everyone, and we are here at the Thoroughbred Center out on the Paris Pike on a dreary old, drizzly old day. And I just looked at the track early this morning. It was pretty good. I labeled it good, but it looks muddy out there now. They just sealed it again. So we'll have to, I don't know what we're going to do. We'll just turn in, we'll turn in the works. Let them worry about it. we'll see how many works we get after the break here. And I'm kind of soloing now. Jackie's on her way. She was a little late leaving today, but I've got Matt Howard and Holly Dunn over here doing the clocking, and Ressie's here with me to keep me squared away. And what are we going to do today? Well, Rick Wallman's coming in at the top of the hour. I've known Rick for a number of years. Rick's been an advisor to some really powerful outfits, Overbrook Farm, Airdrie Stud, and his father bred and partnership bred a Kentucky Derby winner. And he's a nice guy and a sharp guy, and it's going to be fun talking to him because we go back a little ways. Michael Blowen's going to be here this morning. He's coming in, supposed to be here right now, but you know Michael. Of course, Michael's with the old friends. Nikki Smith will also be here. She's coming in a little bit later on. She's with the Exceller group, but of course it's another horse rescue group, and she'll explain a little bit about what she's the people work for Excel. It's all volunteer, and they do a great job anyway. And Steve Moody, we would see if we can wake him up this week. We couldn't get him out of bed last week, I think. Anyway, he gave us does the Kentucky Handicapper sheet. And that's published by our good friends over at Bloodstock Research Information Services. That's BRIS, great, great outfit over there. And give us a winner of maybe the Fed Handicap. Well, we've got a, let's see. Oh, announcement first thing. We're on again 9:00 to 11:00 next week. Another football game. It's we have an hour pregame show that comes on at 11:00, so we'll be on again next week from 9 till 11:00. Okay. If you hear some noise in the background, that's my good buddies over there doing the clocking. What do we see? We're kind of light on winners this month in the Thoroughbred Center. We've had 20 winners, but of course they've canceled racing several times because of the track conditions down at Hoosier. We had 2 winners last night at Hoosier. John Langemeyer sent one down, won with Ross Moyne. And Matt Frazier, who trains both thoroughbreds and quarter horses, won a quarter horse race down there with the horse that belongs to his dad, Dan. And they're neighbors of mine, incidentally. I can just about, they live on Brentsville. I live on Clay Kaiser down in Bourbon County. And as crow flies, we're not, about a mile apart, I guess. But anyway, they're nice family. And Matt's on his way to run a couple today. I think he's running one in a quarter horse in a stakes race up at Beulah Park. Who else have won since last week? Eduardo Caramori won another, and he wins a lot of races. He's a high-percentage trainer. Oscar Modica won down at the Mountain, and Kellen Gorder won one at Hoosier. A horse named Heavenly Light, who trains here. And He trains, he's got a big stable, Kellen does. Got a string at Keeneland, got a string at Churchill Downs, so I kind of have to watch it. Here comes Mike Cameron and Charlie McDaniels up, walking up the walk to train. I guess to tell a little secret gonna work probably. Hey, and a couple of new stud horses retired this week. Claiborne is getting, I'm not sure how to pronounce this horse name. Algorithms. Well, anyway, is that Bernardino colt that they won the Holy Bull last January. He just ran three times and got hurt one first time out. Is a two-year-old at Belmont Park, went by 5 1/4. And then he went to Gulfstream and in December and won going 6 1/2 furlongs and put him in a Holy Bull Stakes, a grade three down at Gulfstream Park, and he won that one by 5 lengths. Anyway, he's going to Claiborne, going to stand for 7,500. Now, I haven't talked to Pope McLean, but I hear by the grapevine, maybe I shouldn't be announcing, but I'm going to anyway, that he's getting Get Stormy. And this old horse could run. I mean, he won three grade one stakes, won grade one stakes at Gulfstream, Churchill Downs, and Keeneland, won 9 stakes, earned $1,606,000, won 3 stakes at Saratoga, a couple of them were graded. Sit down, Michael. And he was bred by Mary Sullivan, and Tommy Bush trained him. He's by Stormy Atlantic, and a tough old horse.
Oh, of course, he is out of a Curious Clown mare.
Yeah, how about that? Out of a.
Where's he going?
I hear by the grapevine he's going to Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm.
Oh, great! Our neighbor.
Yeah, and neighbor to you?
Yeah, not that far.
Well,
he's been to the farm.
He's been to old friends.
You know, Paz. All right. I don't know if you did. I guess you got his thing set now. All right. Anyway, I haven't talked to Pope, but Jackie got it off Facebook. That's where he was going. So
great. That'll be great.
I may be announcing a retraction next week. We'll see. But that he was a top class horse.
Very nice horse. Very, very nice. And, you know, and Mary Sullivan's one of the great owners.
Is she?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, how are things at Old Friends?
Good. Very good. Well, I talked to Dr. Byers. He's doing better.
Oh, that's great.
Good.
That's the best news I have heard.
Yeah.
You know, because mm-hmm. we were really worried about him. He had to go back up there, and we heard some bad things, but he called, and it sounded good.
Yes. It's like Ernest Hemingway. Rumors of my demise are greatly exaggerated. He and Mark Twain, they both
I was going to say, I thought Mark Twain said that.
They both said it because it happened to both of them.
Well, Hemingway plagiarized.
Oh, my goodness. But it was great talking to him. I was thinking on the way in here that I remember one day, you know, Dr. Byers has been trying to teach me how to read, you know, get the heartbeat rate right and do the temperature and read the gums and do all this kind of stuff so that when I call him up about an old horse, I'm not just jabbering.
Might save him a trip. Huh?
Yeah. Well, at least he could start thinking about it on his way over instead of like, calm down. But anyway, I remember one day he came over to the farm and he says, you know, I'm going to give you a test today on what I've been trying to teach you. I said, okay, fine. I said, give me 15 minutes. I got about 15 minutes worth of stuff here to do, and do whatever you want. So 15 minutes go by. I get all the things that I need to get done. I said, okay, pick a horse, whichever one you want. You give me my desk. He said, oh, no, these horses know you.
No.
These horses know you. Get in the truck. So off we go, down this road, back this road. I have no idea where we're going. I mean, I might as well have been blindfolded. We finally go in the back entrance of this farm, nice farm, but I still didn't know where we were, and we went into this barn, and he handed me a shank, and he says, go get that horse. All right, so I go in, and there's this little horse in there, and put the shank, you know, around his nose and lead him out, and all of a sudden I glance up, and on the brass plate on the side of his halter, it said Stormcat.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh.
I said to Dr. Byers,
he didn't run a ringer on you, did he?
I said to Doug, I said, you know, how can I read his heart? My heart's beating so fast, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was great.
Talking about Stormcat, Rick Wallman's coming in today.
Oh, great.
And, of course, Rick was with Overbrook
all
through the Stormcat era. And
The other cool thing is in the stall right across the way from him at the time was Pioneering.
Oh, yeah.
And I love Pioneering, too. Dan, the bluegrass man's at the farm. He's a son of Pioneering. I'm trying to think of the other nice little horse we have. Nice little horse. He won the he beat General Meeting in the stakes race out in California. I'll think of it.
Okay. Look at all the people out there.
They're trying to get in out of their
They had to go outside. There's all kinds of watchers around there, Jackie.
Oh, they must have. Who's running out there? Game on, dude, today?
yeah, you would think that. Well, bad weather. Everybody up here out of the, but the track is muddy now. It was track was good this morning. That's what I labeled it good.
Had a ball yesterday at Keeneland.
What'd you do at Keeneland yesterday?
You know, hung out, had fun, bet horses,
okay,
drank beer.
You must have won money.
A little bit.
Yeah. How can you lose money and have fun? That's the reason I said.
Well, I could still go there and have fun and lose money. Well, I saw Rosie. We got some great pictures of Rosie Naprovnik with Little Silver Charm.
They also like to go out there and flirt with the girls.
Yeah, right? Well, isn't that what everybody does out there? It's unbelievable.
Well, I do too, but I've forgotten why.
Well, join the club. But so that was nice. I ran into Mike Ziegler, who's with the NTRA, who's running the aftercare program, and that's going really, really well. Thoroughbred aftercare program's going great. So that's really good. And I'm very excited. Next Sunday, week from tomorrow, we've been invited to go to Lane's End.
And oh, yeah.
It's going to be Fan Appreciation Day there, and they always get a lot of people to come in, and you know, there's a lot of horses to appreciate.
Well, they invite the general public to come?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's
they cool. Do it every year. They have, you know, coffee and donuts and cookies.
And when is this? So give them a plug.
Next, a week from Sunday.
A week from Sunday.
From 10 to 2.
From 10 to 2 at Lane's End.
Yes.
Okay.
And they're going to let us, they've invited us to have a table there and talk about old friends, and they're going to donate some stuff to us to sell to the fans, and we'll bring the magazine over, but it's really, really nice, and we're really looking forward to it.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Let me take a break here real quick, catch up with what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, Flat Earth sired the winners of two of the richest stakes in 2012. On September 29 at Belmont, Flat Out won the Grade 1 $1 million Jockey Club Gold Cup. And on October 20, Lucy's Bob Boy won the $500,000 West Virginia Breeders Classic. Flat Out score in the Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup boosted his earnings to over $2 million. He has won that prestigious race 2 years in a row. And incidentally, he was one of three runners by Claiborne Sires to win Grade 1 stakes that weekend. Executive privilege, a two-year-old filly by First Samurai won the Grade 1 Chandelier stakes at Santa Anita, and Power Broker by Pulpit won the Grade 1 Front Runner stakes also at Santa Anita. Lucy's Bob Boy, one of only 2 3-year-olds in the field of 10, won the West Virginia Breeders Classic by 8 easy lengths. In 10 career starts, he has posted 8 wins and 2 seconds. He's earned over right at $400,000. Flatter by AP Indy, out of praise by Mr. Prospector, is at Claiborne Farm. $20,000 live full. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at ClaibornFarm.com.
Sally Van Services has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen. And that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
All right. Well, friend of mine, I really don't know Alan Kershaw very well.
He's a fabulous guy.
Yeah. Well, speak right up.
Yeah, I'm serious.
Is he on?
He was at Gainesboro
for your number. Yeah. Well, I knew that.
And I first moved here, and I knew. You think I know nothing now? I knew less than nothing then. I was really super ignorant at that point.
You're almost up to a moron's IQ now. Huh?
I'm working on it. Right. If I really do my homework, I can manage that. But Alan was so helpful when I started Old Friends. He gave me the best advice of anybody that ever gave me. I mean, it was just really great. And anytime I had any problems or anything that I needed to to find out what I should do next, I'd go over and talk to Alan. He was always available, and he's a really, really smart guy.
Well, I knew he'd been a farm manager of the year, and I don't believe I ever met him personally. It sounds like I should. I won't get him on the show here later, but anyway, they've got a new training center, the Bluegrass Equine Center. It's down in Salvisor, Kentucky, and good, quiet location down there. Horse can get away from the great place to rehab a horse, because you can go down there and get away from it. They've got everything. They got a hyperbaric, an oxygen chamber, aquatread, just the top quality facilities all over. 5-furlong track and a really great turf gallop track down there. And you know, they've got a good record. You know, Johar, the horse that the colt that won the Breeders' Futurity.
Yes.
Yeah. You got his education there, and they brought him to the races right off the training center. So they haven't been down there that long. The trainer down there is Chuck Simon. And like I say, they can do a great job for you. That colt is going, of course, to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. And he's the son of Johar. But anyway, they've doing a really good job down there. They've raised and developed some good horses. And the results of the horses, you know, they won about a fourth of their starts that have come off there, you know.
Nice.
Anytime you win at
they should put that in the racing form so we can bet them.
Yeah, anytime you're winning at a 25% rate, you're in the money.
That's huge. You know?
And over half of them been in the money, so. Why don't you give them a call if you got a horse you want to rehab, or if you want to break your yearlings, or just train one, it'd be a good place to go. Let me give you the phone number.
Then call up Alan and just get free advice like I did.
I got it. I'm not going to give out his cell number. I've got it. I probably should give it to you. But here's a phone number down there. It's an 859 number. It's 940-1766, 940-1766, and that's a Bluegrass Equine Center. So give them a call. They'll do a great job for you. All righty. I'm back talking to Michael Bowen, and if some reason or another, you had a good time out of Keenum, which you always have. You going out today?
Yes.
In a miserable day like this, boy, your game
is the last day at Keeneland, and boy, the most depressing days of the year when Saratoga closes, when Keeneland closes, and Aqueduct opens.
Is that right?
Oh man, I get really depressed.
What do you think about Churchill getting the September dates next year from Turfway?
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know?
No,
I haven't figured that out yet either.
No, I like Turfway Park a lot.
I do too.
I really like it, and anything that impacts negatively on Turfway Park, I don't think it's a good thing. So
that's exactly what I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the people that run Turfway Park are great. It's they couldn't come up with the big races this past meet, and they struggle. But I think if they can turn the corner, all I can say is it would be a terrible thing if Turfway Park couldn't hold races anymore.
Yeah.
And so anything that helps them run races, I think, is a good thing. And anything that detracts from that, I'm not so sure.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I haven't figured out yet why Churchill would want it. You know, their big days, they make most of their money. What everything I read is the first Saturday in
Oaks and Derby.
Oaks and Derby, you know, that weekend.
Yeah.
And after that, it's... You know, I don't know.
I know you go there, and there's a few thousand people there, and you can sit. You can't get a seat on Derby Day, but other than that, you can sit anywhere you want.
That's exactly right. You rattle around in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
the sport's going through some changes now, and I hope that when it reemerges, it's going to be much better. So
yeah. Sales are going good.
Yeah, excellent. That's great. Yeah. Then. Got the November sale coming up at Keeneland. They just finished a really nice sale over at Thaisic Tipton where the prices were up, and everybody seemed happy.
They've got a sale at Thaisic Tipton coming up, too, in November. You know, broodmare sale, weanlings, so forth.
Wow. And, you know, this past sale, they didn't get the mega buyers weren't in, but, you know, these are people that are going to race these horses and put them in training and do all that kind of stuff.
I think Harvey DeGraw's in that. And then which sale is she in now?
I think she's in Keeneland, November.
Yeah.
We're going to get a call if she's not.
Oh, yeah, good. Well, good. Well, somebody will know what they're talking about.
Not us.
Well, we got real excited this week because Commentator came back from his vacation up at Saratoga.
Did he enjoy his vacation?
I guess. It was great to see him, though. He's so full of energy, and he's always bounding around and having a good old time, and I really missed him. So it's nice to have him back. He's doing great. So if people want to see Commentator, come out. We have a bus tour at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We've been getting four buses yesterday.
Yeah, but we've been getting a lot of tours here.
Yeah.
I guess if people are coming up for... No, we're playing... I was thinking about a football game. We're playing in Missouri today, so...
Oh, yeah, it was really... I have this contest because every time they have a home game, we get a lot of the opposing team's fans to come to the farm on tours. They come on the buses.
Yeah, right.
And I'm telling you, these Georgia people were fabulous.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't root for Georgia, but I'll tell you, they were very generous. I'm thinking about publishing my own standings.
Okay.
You know, like who gives the most money to Old Friends? And Georgia's way ahead.
Way up there.
Way ahead. We're waiting for some people to kick in from Kansas State, but most of those people are a little cheesy.
Probably we need to pay.
Right. Hey, you just talked to a man.
I know. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I love Kansas State. Number four in the nation, they should be number one.
No.
Oh. Number three in the nation, they should be number one.
That's Matt Howard. Yeah. He's a Kansas State grad.
He's got his Kansas State outfit on. He drove out to a game a couple weeks ago.
Well, he had to go out there anyway to say he saw two games.
Did he?
Yeah.
That's a
you know, Dr. Bramlage is Kansas State.
Yeah.
He goes to all the games.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He's gone this weekend.
Yeah. See? The things you find out on this program that you would never find out anyplace else in the world.
I hope I didn't blow his cover.
Yeah, really.
I might have.
Hey, Matt, we need a leaf blower. You got any leaf blowers?
Yeah.
I'll put up a Kansas State flag at the farm.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah,
that'll
we'll do
it.
An exchange program.
Well, they are good this year.
Yeah, they're very, very good.
They were the underdog down in West Virginia and blew West, I think they beat them like 56-14 or something like that.
It was something wild. But those Georgia people, I mean, they were generous. It was the first time we ever got a $100 bill put in the donation box.
Oh, wow.
Man, oh, man.
They might have been so drunk they just thought it was a buck.
Oh, I think
they do know how to celebrate.
I just think they're really generous.
Okay.
That's what
would have happened to me if I did it, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well.
Goes without saying. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Oh, I got to say one more thing, too. This is neat. Whole Foods just came out with the Old Friends Bourbon.
Oh, great.
Whole Foods and Four Roses came out with a private batch.
That's Matt Howard's favorite.
Old Friends. All right, Matt. I'll tell you what.
Foods.
I'm going to give you something now. Four Roses came out with a private label.
That's the best.
Well, I'll tell you this. This is so cool. They come out with Old Friends Bourbon.
Really?
So I'm going to go. Diane's going up to Whole Foods today to pick up some bottles, and I'll make sure I bring you one next week.
Yeah, Four Roses is the best bourbon.
Okay. Here you go. It's got the Old Friends logo on it.
Yeah. See, Matt giving him that load of hay paid off. There you go.
Matt, I need a leaf blower. You got any old leaf blowers? Whenever you buy a new one, you can send the old one to us.
All right. Actually, I got to buy a new one here soon.
That's a spirit.
Don't buy the green one.
You never know.
Yeah, I said he had to buy a new one anyway. So.
Don't buy the green ones. They're too loud.
The green ones? I don't know.
I don't know what it is, but it's too loud. I'm going to give it to you with a pair of earplugs.
There you go.
You don't care, do you?
No, I can't hear anyways.
All righty. Okay, well, it's good news about Doc.
Yeah, great news about Doc. This is fabulous. And, it was great talking to him. He's something.
I was hoping that Mimi Smith would get it. Ooh, did you get cold out there?
Yeah.
See, the young lady just put her cold hands on me. It's all righty.
Okay. I'll make sure you have a leaf blower by the middle of next week.
I'm telling you. It's unbelievable. Well, I'll make sure. Well, if you bring that over, I'll have the bourbon. You can get the bourbon early, too.
I came right in here and hustled the leaf blower.
No, they didn't.
Hey. You know, that's why they pay me the big bucks.
You're right.
But, Keeneland has been so great to us this year. I mean, I have to say, they've been really spectacular, and they really go out of their way to help old friends now. It's really, really nice. The Sarada visit was very popular. In fact, people can, if people go on our website, they can see the whole Sarava appearance
at Keeneland.
At Keeneland,
you took him to the paddock and mm-hmm. these people. And I
the know, coolest know part was G.D. Hieronymus put the stretch run of Sarava's Belmont victory, this great stretch run against Medaglia d'Oro, and Raimundo was walking him around, and when the race went on, he stopped and stared at the big screen.
You're kidding?
No, I'm not. It's on the video. You can see it. He stared at the big screen until the race was over, and then he walked around again. I said, well, it's the first time he's ever seen it, I'm sure.
Yeah, right. After all these years,
yeah,
finally got to see it.
Wow, that was a handsome young man, he said.
David Banks had an old horse out here that had been running 5 and 6 years, won a whole lot of races. And he was walking down over here between barn 5 and 6 down the horse path.
Mm-hmm.
And there used to be a radio show came on at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it opened with that bugle.
Yes.
That radio show came on, and that horse stopped dead cold and turned and looked. You know, he didn't know.
They know. I mean, when we have our memorial services for the horses, Bucky Sally comes and blows the call to post.
Yeah.
And it's really, really nice. But the interesting thing is, the first time he did it, you know, all the horses were looking over the fence that were in surrounding the cemetery, and they were all concentrating on everything that was going on. And all of a sudden, Bucky played the call to post, and they took off like crazy.
They did.
Yeah, it was wild. So it took what was a sad situation, and everybody started laughing because the horses performed so well when they heard the call to post.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're smart.
That's good. All right, Michael.
All right, Ursel. Back to work. I'm going to go catch up to the tour business and hope that some people come visit today. We'll spend a little more time in the barn seeing things than we usually do, but I'm very excited.
We just got a call from the starter. Joe Heat is the starter out here. I guess they got to clock something out of the gate.
All right. Ursel, thank you so much. Yeah. If you hear from Doug, give me a call and vice versa.
I'll do it. We'll keep in touch.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
Okay. Well, First Defense is the sire of a Breeders' Cup contender in its first crop. Dun Dunnell, after breaking his maiden by 12 lengths, winning the Group 3 Acom Stakes and finishing a closing second, beating a nose in the Group 2 Champagne Stakes in Great Britain, is scheduled to go next in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. He's a runner. And for those of you who saw Silver Streak, a two-year-old filly by First Defense, win a $50,000 maiden special at Keeneland the other day, you know that Don Dunnell is not the only first-crop runner by First Defense, and there are more on the way. First Defense, a Grade 1 winner with brilliant speed, is Bound Bottle, Song Out of Honest Lady. She's a Grade 1 winner. She's by Seattle Slough, and she's a half-sister to the top sire, Empire Maker. First Defense stands at Judmont Farm, home also a Grade 1 winner and proven sire, Grade 1 sire, Mizzen Mass, by the top sire, Cozine. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. See the website at judmont.com. I want to talk a little bit about my good friend Tom Biedemann, Biedemann Real Estate and Auctioneers. And Tom has went to his website the other day and just checking out some properties that he has listed. And number one on the list is 2780 Troy Pike down in Versailles. Hey, Jackie.
Jackie.
Tell her to introduce Mimi to... here she comes. She'll do it. This is Mimi Smith coming from Exceller. Anyway, 2780 Troy Pike down in Versailles. Now, this is 76 acres. 74.67 acres to be exact. Got a historic farm. I was going to get you to introduce...
I am.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
It's a gorgeous, gorgeous home down there, circa 1870, 1820 right now. It's pristine condition. It's a wonderful place. It's just you walk right in. They've got a six-horse exerciser and a heated workshop and garage and plank fencing, four fields, 10 paddocks, private residence entrance, you know, and it's separate from the farm entrance. It's a wonderful farm, and you need to call my good friend Tom about that one. They got a place over on Aiken Road in Versailles, 112 acres there, Stonewall Farm Air Division, and it's a
also another show place over there. So talk to Tom about that. And if you list and want to list your place, talk to Tom, Tom Biederman, and because he's the guy that gets it done. And we've watched him sell several properties right around us, which we've got one right up the road from us right now that he's listing. But anyway, his number is 277-2030, and his website is biedermanbrokerage.com, B-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N, brokerage.com. You can talk to any of his people. He's got great people working for him. It's a wonderful, wonderful firm. biedermanbrokerage.com is his website once again. Well, tis deja vu. One more North American greatest six and any son of Hall of Famer Tisnow. And Tisnow is a top 10 sire by North American earnings again this year. Tis Deja, brilliant miler, won four stakes at Churchill Downs. He was virtually unbeatable there. He won graded stakes at Arlington, and he placed in grade one stakes, and he earned nearly $700,000. He won four graded stakes in wire-to-wire fashion, and he was in the money in 13 of his 16 starts. Now, the first foals by Tis Deja Vu are weanlings. You'll see some out at the sales in November at Keeneland. Stands at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. That's a good farm to know because they offer a wide variety of services at Crestwood. Down through the years, they've earned a reputation for raising runners, and they earned that reputation. Family operated, somebody 24/7. They treat their clients like family, and that's why most of the clients have been with them for years and years and years. Contact Pope McLean, 253-3770. Check the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
I'm heading down the highway.
Hey, Nikki, come over and sit down. Hey, you want to... come on over and sit down. This is Nikki Smith from Exceller. You wanna sit down and talk to Nikki a little bit again? Michael's coming back. You can never shut him up, no. Nikki, so we might as well. He's going to stand over there and talk. He might as well get a microphone in front of him again.
Yes, sir. Back by popular demand, or maybe not.
Nikki maybe is not. With the Exceller Fund, and tell us a little about her. A little bit about Exceller Fund, Nikki.
Well, we started back in 1997. I don't know if you're familiar with Exceller, but he was a racehorse back in the day. And his claim to fame is he beat two Triple Crown winners in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, affirmed, and of course, not secretary himself,
Seattle
but we'll
Slough.
Get to that.
Seattle Slough.
So anyhow, he ended up in Sweden in the slaughterhouse. And so a group of race fans actually came together in his honor to create the Exceller Fund. We're internet-based, and so we don't have a facility of our own, but we use foster and satellite farms around the country. And so that's pretty much the gist of it.
And that's why you're here.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, right. Well, you live in Chicago.
I do now. I used to be in Lexington, and now I have since moved. But, yeah, like I said, we're a national organization, so we're kind of all over the place.
Yeah. How do you all raise money? Because it takes money to take care of these. I mean, I know it. You all work for nothing.
We do. We do. We're all volunteer.
I do, too, but not by choice. Go ahead.
Well, I can relate to that, certainly. We have, of course, a donor base, and we use what we call a membership. Of course, more or less, it's donors that give a monthly donation.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, we use grants that are given by various entities, but primarily it's our membership, a lot of private donations, things like that. Of course, we're always soliciting, like everybody else, but we're hoping that our new guy can help us with that a little bit.
The new guy?
The new guy that we'll get to in just a minute, I'm sure.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I want to hear about that.
They do a great job, Ursel.
Yeah.
I mean, they do a great, great job. And
have you all met before?
Yes, a couple of years ago.
Oh, okay.
Back when I had more hair.
I almost didn't recognize him.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right. I'm really all down.
While we wear hats.
You recognize the gimp, you know?
Yeah. You recognize the hat up there, Rapid Redux.
Absolutely.
Have you been out to old friends to see them all?
Not in a very long time, but I would love to get out there again.
Well, I'm sure he'll show you around.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Well, how do you, you know, you're doing this with no pay.
How do you swing that? Did you, you know, did you marry money or did
wouldn't that be nice?
Roll a bunch of drunks.
I'm taking applications, but no.
Okay, you're taking applications.
You're making fun.
Yes, yes. No. I'm very fortunate to have a very supportive family.
Okay.
I'm actually a stay-at-home mom right now, and I've been able to devote my time to this for the past 2 years, and I've actually been a member of the Acceler Fund. I joined their board of directors in 2007. And since then, I was actually the vice president and transitioned in the executive director position a couple of years ago. So I've been just kind of focused on that and helping getting them going again and back on track, and just kind of been fortunate enough to be able to do that. So,
well, if people want to join this fund and everything, what's your website and that, so forth? So
sure. Our website is just Acceler Fund, which Acceler is EXCELLERfund.org. Mm-hmm. And the information's all under the Join Us link there. And yeah, everything's there. You can send us an email, shoot us a phone call. We're happy to get you set up. You can do it through PayPal. We'll take checks, credit cards, the whole nine yards. We're happy to make it very accommodating for you.
Well, how do you find out about these horses now?
A variety of ways. A lot of them are privately donated. We try and focus on horses coming directly off the track. A lot of them, we get word through, gosh, we have a lot of people that are on the track kind of keeping an eye on horses that are in trouble, and they contact us. We've got a majority of them actually have come from kill pens, for lack of a better term, from auctions around the country when we get word that they're in trouble.
Yeah.
People are, you know, constantly checking for tattoos, let us know that they're out there. And over the years, we've got various horses from that. Goodness, we've gotten a few rescues. Most of ours, though, aren't rescue cases. We will take them after someone else has found a rescue case, and then we'll help out with that, but that's not really our niche. We're not really a humane society. We actually focus on now what we call the Racing Warriors. That's our new campaign that we launched last year, and that's any thoroughbred that's got 50 or more starts, and that's the minimum requirement. Most of ours have actually got well over 100 starts. Our one with the most starts is actually a horse named Cumberland Gap. He's turned 21 this year, I believe. He's down in Oklahoma right now at a foster farm, and he's got 161 starts.
Oh, so, 161.
161,
starts.
Yes.
My goodness.
He's closing in on your record.
Yes. So it's, there's quite a few of them out there. And
okay, so you found them from killer pens and off the tracks. And what tracks usually do you find them on?
Gosh, we've got them from all over the country. Our most recent intake that came off the track came out of Nebraska, actually. His name's Looney Lionel. He's another warrior horse. He had, I believe, 114 starts. We've got them from Belma. A lot of them have come from the Finger Lakes area.
Mm-hmm.
Goodness, we've gotten some from Turfway. Most of them have been from the East Coast, primarily up in the New York area, our particular horses. But we've helped with rescues, gosh, Arizona, Washington State, all over the board. So
yeah, wow. Well, you just brought an old stud up from Tennessee. You took him to Keswick, didn't you?
We sure did.
Yeah. Tell them a little. It's a good story. Tell them about that.
Absolutely. This guy was found. He was actually living in a stall the past 6 years, and the owners.
Can you believe that, Michael?
I know. That's terrible.
Yes.
I mean, the stories is just something.
Yeah.
So luckily, the people that had him reached out for help. We're grateful for that. And unfortunately, they didn't have a facility to accommodate a stallion, so he didn't have any access to turnout. He really didn't have any exercise to speak of, other than being walked from one stall to another while his was being mucked each day. They did the best they could with what they had, but unfortunately it wasn't suitable for a living arrangement for this particular horse. And so they reached out for help, and we were able to secure him after 2.5 months and bring him up to Kentucky, which is where he was bred and foaled.
Sally Vans brought him up.
Sally sure did.
Aren't they great? They work with you too, don't they?
They do. They are wonderful.
They haul Mike all over the world.
It's unbelievable.
Yes,
unbelievable.
Yes. I don't think we could survive without them.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right. They're great people.
They certainly are. Certainly are. Yes. They were, I don't think we could have moved him without them.
Nicole P. Red, I've known that family for years. It's a great family.
Absolutely.
One of my all-time great friends was, and friend of my father's was Pappy P. Red, who's her great-grandfather.
Oh, my
God. And what a wonderful gentleman he was. Although he'd probably smack me for calling him a gentleman.
Well, she certainly carries on that tradition.
Oh, everybody, don't you love her?
Fabulous. Yeah. Not only that, it's great when the drivers come by and they get to see some of the horses, because some of the drivers used to work at some of the farms.
Yeah.
So, Steve, who drives for them now, used to work at Lane's End and he took care of Gulch and some of the other horses that we had at the farm. So then he gets to drive around still, and he gets a real kick out of it. And it's great to see him. And, you know, they're being handled so well.
Well, that's right. That's another big plus for Sally Vans is they got horsemen working.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. And they take great care of their equipment and everything, you know. So they're wonderful people. I'm proud. Yeah, they're one of my sponsors, and in fact, they were one of the very first sponsors on this show.
Wow.
And, you know, I couldn't be prouder, you know. After all these years, they still tolerate me.
They brought commentator home.
Yo, that didn't listen. You started naming the ones they brought home to you.
We'll be here all day.
Yeah, we'll be here. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
I was trying to hitch a ride to Saratoga this year on one of the trucks. I think I'm going to try that next year.
Okay.
Save on expenses.
Hey, I might sneak in there with you. Hold me a spot.
Well, you wouldn't be the first, you know.
Oh, no, I know that.
Yeah, right.
I know that. But they bring other stuff up there for us, too, when we're going to send some stuff up to the New York farm. They're fabulous. Yeah. I mean, well, there you go.
Well, anyway, you found a place to put the old horse. That's good.
We sure did. And actually, Sally even sent down a private rig for him the whole nine yards. So he got the first-class treatment, made his way up here, and Kesmark was wonderful. They gave him you know, a week and a half of rehab and, you know, got him started for us. And
that's great.
Now he's in a private facility. He's doing wonderful. And, of course, he's going to remain with the Acceler Fund for the rest of his life. And with this private farm, it's going to be our new satellite farm for us. They're wonderful. We love them. We could not be more thrilled. So, yeah, it's a great story in the end, and we're all just so happy.
Well, I wish y'all could turn out that way.
As do we. And so we do what we can where we can, and we also like to help the other organizations when we can and, you know, help as many horses as, you know, we can't help them all, but we just try and do our part.
Yeah. Well, you know, when Michael first got down to Kentucky, you know, and he started to come, you were buying some time, you and
yeah.
Yeah, on the show.
Yeah, that's right.
And it took me a little while, stupid as I am, to figure out what you were doing. And I told Jackie, I says, we can't charge this guy for this. You know?
But I was like the man who came to dinner.
Yeah. You just stayed.
I haven't left yet.
Yeah. Well, that's great, though. Yeah, but another plus is you brought Doc in.
That
what a plus he is. Y'all got that guy covered, that Jack?
Right there.
All right. We're clocking horses here now, Nikki. You've never been out here, or you've been out here before?
I've been out here, but again, it's been a few years.
Yeah. I got to take a break here real quick. I'm getting behind to do some
All right, or
some commercials.
I'm going to go do a tour, assuming that people are going to show up for the tour.
Yeah, all right. Well, they usually do.
And Nick does such a great job with the Acceler Fund, and everybody's working together. And I think this new thing with the NTRA and the aftercare program, I think all this stuff is starting to come together, and I think it's going to improve the lives of a lot of these horses.
Absolutely. That's all it's needed.
Yeah.
Thanks, Michael.
So great to see you.
Hang
in a little bit, Nikki. I want to ask you a couple of things. And with Gypsy Robin, a 3-year-old filly from the first small test crop by De Hare, won Keeneland's Grade 2 $250,000 Lexus Raven Run Stakes last Saturday. No contest, breaking from the number 10 post position in a field of 13, Gypsy Robin led from wire to wire. Posted fractions of 22 flat, 45, 109 and 1, 121 and 3. Just missed the track record by 4/5 of a second. And she won as she pleased by widening four lengths. Bred by Cloris Clark Jr. and trained by Wesley Ward, Gypsy Robin has also won the Grade 2 Beaumont at Keeneland, the inaugural stakes at Presque Isle, the sorority stakes at Monmouth. She was a game second in the Grade 1 test at Saratoga, and she's earned almost $500,000. De Hare, a Grade 1 stakes winner with brilliant speed, is the son of Awesome Again, the only winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, the sire winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic. Awesome Again has sired 12 Grade 1 winners, including a Horse of the Year, and he's nationally ranked again this year with earners of over $5,600,000, including two Grade 1 stakes winners. De Hare stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes. See the website at shadwellfarm.com. We'll talk about my good friend Ralph Quillen down at Quillen Leather and Tack. And that's another outfit that does a whole lot for farms. I'll tell you that they donate halters to old friends and give you a discount if you've got a – well, I can't say that to give discount to everybody, but if you've got if you talk to them real sweet and you've got a rescue, they might. And they sell over 17,000 halters a year worldwide. They're actually the biggest in central Kentucky, probably the biggest in the country when it comes to leather. Quality products, great products, and it's a fun place to visit. They got a great gift shop. And it's go in there, you know, even the tours even stop by. So it's really, really fun to go in the place. You can buy all kinds of gifts and belts and dog collars and cat collars. And
yeah, I got a weird message from Ralph Quillen. I'm now on Twitter with Ralph Quillen. I have no idea. I don't think I Twitter or tweet. I'm not really sure.
Sounds like you're lisping to me.
I know. Hello, wow.
Tell me you're going to. Hello, wow. Hey, wow.
This is my tweet.
Ralph, you better stick to Facebook with Jackie, I think.
I'll tell you.
Well, anyway.
But it's been 30 years for them.
Yes, they've been in business for 30 years.
And they do a lot of stuff for charities, too. He's a good guy.
Well, let me give you their website. It's Quillen.com, Quillin.com. And they'll tell you how to find them. You're going into Paris from the Lexington area. Just go straight into town. Go to the third stoplight and look on the left. And there they are.
Parking in the rear.
Parking in the rear. All right. Well, Spikestown is the nation's number one ranked sire 2012 North American Stakes by North American Earnings. He's the sire of 19 stakes winners this year, and the earners of more than $8,164,000. Eight of his 2012 stakes winners have won graded stakes, and two have won grade one stakes. Last Saturday at Belmont, his progeny dominated the stakes card. Lunar Victory by Spikestown won the $250,000 Empire Classic. Weekend Holiday, a two-year-old colt by Spikestown, won the $125,000 Bertram F. Bongard Stakes. Lunar Victory, a $350,000 Keeneland September sales grab, began his career abroad. And since coming to this country, he has 6 wins and 2 seconds from 8 starts. He's earned more than $415,000. Weekend Holiday broke his maiden at Saratoga, won the David Stakes there in his next start, and is also placed in the Grade 2 Futurity. In other stakes last weekend, Rush Now, a 4-year-old son of Tis Now, won the First Response Stakes at Parks, bred in Kentucky by Chris and Kurt Cahill, and sold as a weaning for $280,000. Rush Now has also won stakes at Monmouth in Delaware and has earned over $450,000. Tis Now ranks 10th on the sire list by North American Earnings. 5 of his 9 2012 stakes winners won graded stakes, including grade 1 stakes winner Gemologist. Leading sires, potential leading sires. Well, leading sires Spikestown and Tis Now stand at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy or Leanna Packard and see the website at windstarfarm.com. Nikki, I'm talking to Nikki Smith from the Excella Fund. Nikki, you've got a representative based here in Lexington now. Is it going to be one, or we don't know yet?
Well, we do have a board member in the in the Kentucky area. Well, actually, we've got two members in the area. Actually, we've got Dr. Corey Williams, who's a vet here, and then we've got Angela Thews, who's actually in Shelbyville. She's our board secretary, so okay. We've got two Kentucky representatives.
Now, how can they, if somebody around here wants to get in touch with them, how would they do that?
Well, if you go through our website, actually, Angela picks up all the messages through the website for us.
Oh, okay.
So she will get that, or if you even write me personally, I make sure, like I said, we're very tight-knit, so we all get a hold of each other all the time, and mm-hmm.
How big an organization are you? How many people?
We've got about 14 volunteers that work for us, about 5 that do kind of the day-to-day stuff,
mm-hmm.
So we're pretty small.
Okay. And you going back to Chicago?
I sure am, unfortunately.
Yeah, my condolences.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Well, I'm going to let you go. Oh, we got... Oh, thanks for the hat.
Oh, you're certainly
my goodness.
Welcome.
One for Betsy. Pink one for Betsy.
Okay.
Isn't that cute? Blue for me.
All right. Well, which one's Rissy going to get?
Rissy's
our engineer.
One.
Oh.
We couldn't do the show
without
it. We
have one of those in the car, so whoever wants that, we'll let you two fight over it.
All right.
There you go.
All right. Well, we're going to let you go. We got to catch up on stuff around here. Jackie, you want to do some...
Announcements?
And
wait. Yeah.
And, okay.
Can you put your...
Absolutely.
Yeah, put your phone in that phone. Well, grab your book, girl.
Oh, my God. Oh, you know what? This is just awful. This weather stinks, and today is the Riding for Hope trail ride.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
And that's stinking. Hopefully.
Out at the horse park.
At the horse park. Maybe it'll clear up for them.
It's still misting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's nasty. It's nasty, and the kids wear all their costumes.
How many works we end up with over there?
I don't know. Would
you have any?
It's always good if you have... 38.
We got one full page and
3.
38.
38. Right.
Nikki, thanks for coming by.
Well, thank you very much.
When are you going back?
Tomorrow.
Okay. Well, we'll see you before you leave, maybe?
Well, perhaps.
Perhaps. Okay.
I'm going to try, but likely not, unfortunately. But okay. I'll let you know if I can make it over.
Keep in touch. Keep you informed.
Definitely. Well, I appreciate that. Yes.
All right.
I appreciate everything.
We know how to reach you. Cool. Next,
so. Yeah. Great.
All right, Nikki. Thanks.
Somebody with brains put her cell phone and number in my stupid phone. This is Michael's cup. He left it here.
Oh, Mr. Perfect?
Mr. Perfect.
Okay.
Ooh, let's see here. Oh, they have a new exhibit at the horse park called Losing Ground, The Greatest Threat. It's going to open at the International Museum of the Horse. What they're talking about is a loss of green space to ride and that sort of thing. So that'll be opening soon. There's something called the Equine Land Conservation Resource. Sounds good to me. Anybody wants to talk to those people, their number is 455-8383.
Let me catch up with this, Dad. We got to catch up on our commercials.
Go for it.
All right. Well, 'tis wonderful sign runners. First crop two-year-olds include My Happy Face, who broke her maiden by 21 and a quarter lengths at Saratoga, then dropped a head-bobbing decision to the 1-9 shot Dreaming of Julia in the Grade 1 Frisette. They may meet again in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. Another promising filly is Scamoni. She won first time out and a maiden special at Churchill, then shipped in to place in $100,000 stakes. Then there's Wild Billum, broke his maiden first time out by 5 in a maiden special at Law just the other day. And Floor Money, winner in his second start of a maiden special at Arlington. All told, 'tis wonderful. There's 7 winners plus 11 others to place. And here's an interesting fact. Of the 11 which have placed, 8 of them did so in their very first starts, and the remaining 3 in their second starts. So the 'tis Wonderfuls are running in good company at major tracks with a prominent Breeders' Cup contender in his first crop, an undefeated multiple graded stakes winner at 2 at Churchill, and a son of the Hall of Famer 'tis Now. Sire another stakes winner last weekend, currently number top 10 sire by North American earnings. 'Tis Wonderful stands at Spendthrift Farm. Now's the time to book for 2013. Contact Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Fell, Ned Toffey, 294-0030, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
To succeed at the races, you need an advantage. That edge is BristNet.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information no one else has. In-depth trainer staff, detailed pedigree data, brisk class, pace, and speed ratings, free membership, handicapping contests, exciting monthly giveaway. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover BristNet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, October 20th at Santa Anita, Broken Dreams, a 6-year-old mare of a broken vow, won the grade $300,000 Senator Ken Matty Stakes, 6.5 furlongs and 111-4, missing the course record by just 4/5 of a second. Bred by Glen Hill Farm and trained by Tom Proctor, Broken Dreams has won the grade 3 Ken Matty 2 years in a row. She's a typical broken vow, durable, game, and a runner to be reckoned with whenever she goes to the post. She won the Oceanita Stakes at Del Mar earlier this year. She's placed in stakes at Hollywood Park, Saratoga, and in Santa Anita's Grade 3 Monrovia. She's earned over $377,000. Broken Vow is the sire of 17 2012 stakes winners. Only Giants Causeway and Sprightstown have sired more, and he stands at Pin Oak Stud. Also standing at Pin Oak are the stallions Bob and John, sire of 3 stakes winners and nearly 50 winners in his first crop. Multiple graded stakes winner and millionaire Cowboy Cal. His first foals are yearlings, and Eclipse Award winner Sky Classic, sire of 6 champions, 59 stakes winners, and over 100 stakes horses. Inquiries at Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens, and see the website at pinoakstud.com. Hey, Jackie, give me a chance to shut up for a minute.
Oh, my word. Oh, have we come to that? Oh, my God. Okay. Ha. Ooh. Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club is putting together the membership directory, which is kind of a Bible if you need to find a name of a farm or, I mean, a phone number or contact or whatever. It's invaluable. We always
good place to advertise, too.
That's the point, hey, you are so sharp. It's time to get your advertising in. Space reservations will close November 2nd. Now, you don't have to have it mock up and all that junk. You just have to reserve your space by November 2nd. So give Kim Ramsey a call, 948-7321. That's 948-7321 to get your ad in there. I love that directory. It's great. And as usual, Southern Lights Holiday Festival will be back at the Horse Park. American Bus Association.
American what?
Bus Association.
Oh, Bus.
Named Southern Lights as one of their top events in the country.
Oh, wow.
So, American Bus Association, the ABA. Could have been American Bar Association. That would have been another thing. Kentucky Humane, what is that thing? Kentucky Humane Society, whatever it is. They are having a black tie gala. Now, today is what, 27th? This thing is the 30th, and I just got the email. So it's going to be at the Downtown Hilton in Lexington, 7 o'clock cocktails, 7:30 dinner. They are having, oh, no, I really want to go to this. Ronan Tynan is singing.
Golly, every Irishman in Kentucky is going to be there.
I know.
He's great. He's the best.
He's my favorite Christmas singer of all time.
Yeah.
He's tremendous. They don't have the price on here, and I guess this is one of those, if you have to ask, you know, you can't afford it. But, oh, man, I'd like to see him. Maybe I could get a job as a waitress. Hang over there in the corner and listen to him. That would be very good. Let's see, who do I know at the Downtown Hilton? I don't think I know anybody. Oh, I wanted to, as a part of the announcements, I wanted to mention that you're never too old to learn something. So I was talking to Dr. John Liu, PhD, at McCauley Brothers, one of our sponsors, the other day, and he was talking about feeding old horses that don't have teeth. He said you can't give them sweet feed. You can't give them anything with any kind of a whole grain. That's even crimped oats or barley or corn, because they can't chew it. They have longevity, which is a little cube. It's the size of, the cubes are about the size of a digit in your finger. And when they gum them, they pop open. And they don't lose any feed, and the stuff is...
They melt
yeah. in their mouth. So this is what you give old horses with little or no teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And by God, isn't that clever?
Yeah.
See, because a lot of sweet feed, a lot of... feed for old horses look like sweet feed. You can't do that because anything that's not crunch, you know, that's crunchable, they can't do it. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there because I had no idea, and that's very, very clever to think of it that way. Monet's is heard from Rerun. Rerun's a charity, retrains and finds home for off-track thoroughbreds. They are having a special auction of Breeders' Cup winners on eBay starting yesterday through November 4th. Now, Monets are 16 by 20 inch abstracts done by the horses themselves. They use their tails, muzzles, hooves, whiskers. Sometimes they put a paintbrush in the horse's mouth and they paint on the, you know, paint on the canvas. It's watercolors. They're just as cute as they can be. This auction has old Breeders' Cup winners. Awesome Again, how about that? Classic winner. Better Talk Now, 2004 Turf. DeHaas, winner of the 96 and 98 Mile. English Channel, winner of the 07 Turf. Indian Blessing, 07 Juvenile Fillies. And listen to this, a Spitestown. They've got a Spitestown Monet.
Wow.
So,
he's right up right at the top of the sire list now.
I know. That's a beaut. They ought to get a lot of money for that. So, go to rerun.org and clip on eBay icon or go to eBay and type in Monet, M-O-N-E-I-G-H. But rerun.org is the easiest, I think. So if you want a Spitestown, that's awfully, awfully clever.
I want a free season. That's what I want.
Oh, Lord. I know. Community tax sale, Sunday, November 4th,
here
from 11
Rick,
to 4 at Masterson Stations Indoor. They've got winter blankets, boots, pads, clothing, and saddles. You're welcome to sell. You can come in and make in your own table. Make your Christmas money early. Get a hold of Christine Brown. That's cbeaniebrown at AOL.com.
Well, the first folks were looking at Lucky Weanings, and you'll have the opportunity to look several over at Keeneland in November. As a reminder, looking at Lucky was the champion two-year-old of his year, and he was a classic winner at three. In six starts at two, he won the Grade 1 Cash Call Fortuity, the Grade 1 Norfolk Stakes, the Grade 2 Best Pal Stakes, a maiden special at Hollywood Park, and was a not-so-lucky second, beating ahead in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile. At three, he won the Grade 1 Preakness Stakes following a horrible trip in the Kentucky Derby, losing all chance in the run to the first turn. He also won the Grade 1 Haskell Invitational, the Grade 2 Indiana Derby, the Grade 2 Rebel Stakes, and retired with earnings of over $3,307,000. Looking at Lucky, he is one of 10 champions sired by Smart Strike, and he's out of a multiple graded stakes producer from a great family. Stands at Coolmore's Ashford Stud, home also the nation's number one sire, Giants Causeway. For more information, call Ashford Stud at 859-873-7088. Check the website, coolmore.com. And remember, leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coolmore.
When Jack and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
From the Toyota of Nicholasville studios, this is WLXG Lexington, ESPN, Sports Radio 1300.
Toyota Nicholasville, where Price sells cars.
Well, champion sprinter Sprightstown has climbed to number two on the 2012 General Sire list and to number one on the list by North American earnings. Haynesfield is a Grade 1 stakes winner by Sprightstown. He stands at Airdrie Stud. Haynesfield won the Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup. He won a total of 8 stakes. He won the distances from 6 furlongs to a mile and a quarter. Met and defeated many of the top runners of his day, including champion Blame. In fact, he handed Blame his only defeat the year that Blame beat Zenyatta in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic. He won 10 of his 19 races. He won a 2, 3, 4, and 5 every year he raced, and he earned more than $1,319,000. Haynesfield covered a full book of quality merit in his first season at Stud, and his first foals are due next year. Stands at Mr. and Mrs. Baird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to a racing profit.
I got the horse right here.
Well, Matt went over to get me a fence feeder.
Oh, he did. Matt Howard.
Of course. That's the nicest guy. Don't tell him I said
that. Well, don't you stop talking about him before you can hear that on the radio.
Oh, okay.
We'll start the second hour of Horse Tales now. And a friend of mine, I hadn't seen Rick in a number of years, Rick Wallman is here, and bumped into him at a party the other day. That's a good place to go as a party to meet somebody, isn't it, Rick?
Oh, it's at a racetrack party. That's
a racetrack.
The best. That's
yeah, right up on the finish line, too.
That's right. Yeah.
Can't beat that. Free food, free booze.
Free booze, free food.
That's about what it takes to get me to the races anymore, to tell you the truth.
It had my name on it.
There you go. Well, Rick has been an advisor to some of the big-time farms around here. Overbrook, back when Overbrook was at the top of the list. Airdrie Stud, I believe, and if I'm not mistaken, you didn't you work at Fazy Tipton at one time?
Actually, my my career in the horse business started at Fazy Tipton back in the early 70s.
Okay. And that, was that in the New York or?
That was in the New York office. I interviewed for the job with John Finney right here at the Thoroughbred Center when Fazy Tipton ran their sales, their Kentucky sales here. And then I flew to New York and interviewed with Larry Enzer, and I hounded him for weeks, it seemed, to get the job. And he let me know on a Friday I could have the job. I drove up to New York on Saturday. I rented the first apartment I saw on Sunday, and I started work on Monday, and I was there for 8 years.
Is that right?
It was a
well, what were you doing with them?
Well, I was doing a lot of grunt work. You know, I was just doing what needed to be done.
Yeah.
I when I left there, I was assistant general manager, but I did everything from drive the rental truck when we had a temporary sale set up at Monmouth Park and everything it took to put on a horse sale, inspecting yearlings around the country. And it was a great experience. I was lucky to be in New York during the heyday of all the 70s of all those great racehorses.
I tell you, yes.
So to be able to
saw three Triple Crown winners, I guess.
Yeah. To be able, I got up there just after Secretariat had won his Triple Crown. But you know, to see Foolish Pleasure and Bold Forbes and Seattle Slew and Affirmed. Even I think I got to see Spectacular Bid before I left. Some pretty good horses, some pretty good racing. Just to pick up the form, which was the only way to get information in,
yeah.
And see that Aladar's running in his maiden race and run over to the racetrack and take a half an hour to run over to the racetrack and watch Aladar run was a treat.
Oh, boy.
Or many other great horses. I can't even remember them all. And some great characters of the racetrack in those days. They were all there in New York. They were all stabled there.
Oh, yeah. Well, backtrack a little bit. You originally from Louisville?
Grew up in Louisville, and I graduated from the University of Louisville. And my father had horses. He loved horses. He loved racing cheap horses. He preferred not to have them cheap, but he loved racing horses. And I picked up the bug. He didn't try to push me into it. I just picked up the bug, and he
going
was
going to Churchill. And
the first time I went to Churchill Downs was with a friend of mine in high school, and I was so proud of myself. I came home. I had won $30 that day, and I came home, and I was
how easy is this? Huh?
And my mother, who was not prone to make wise sayings, said one of the things that stuck with me. She said, "That's probably the worst outcome of you going to the races was winning money." And she was right.
Yeah.
But I loved it there. And I loved following what my father was doing. He eventually moved into, I guess, as you would call horse trading, you know, buying fillies off the track and breeding them and selling them or claiming fillies. They did a lot of claiming. And I guess since all the parties involved aren't around anymore.
Is that when he went in with Lee?
He had met Lee Eaton.
Yeah.
Sometime in the 60s, he was referred, Lee was referred to my father by, an old friend of his, and you're probably familiar with him, Junie Fallon, who was a trainer, well into his 80s. And he couldn't make the sale to look at horses for my father, but he had an experience with Lee, who was not too far out of college at that time. And from that experience of Lee picking out weanlings or yearlings for them to buy, they forged a great partnership. They bought a farm together, and they turned out some really nice horses
together.
Now, were
they partners in that farm out on Mount Horeb?
They were partners on the farm, which I think is now Winchester, if I have that correct.
On Mount Horeb, right?
Is that right?
No,
just past Castleton?
Right on down. Okay, go ahead.
And I, you know, if I make any misstatements, it's because we're testing my long range memory, which is better than my short range, but not good enough to pick up everything.
I can relate to that.
And they had a good association. They'd claim fillies. They'd buy them privately. They'd sell some. You know, ideally, they couldn't afford to own high-priced fillies, like a lot of people probably can't today. So if something became very valuable, like Courtlee D, they owned her, then they were lucky enough to get a seasoned Aladar and sell her in full, and that resulting foal was Althea for someone else.
Yes.
But they had a good, a great association.
Yeah. Well, they bred a Derby winner.
They bred a Derby winner. They had a, they bred Bold Forbes, who was from a Calumet, a castoff from a Calumet family.
She
was
a Commodore M. mare.
Commodore M.
mare. That.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was blind in one eye. And in all rights, most people would have sold her by the time she was, she produced Bold Forbes, but she had produced a lot of runners, and I guess they sentimentally felt attached to her, and they bred her to a young, fast, bold ruler horse, Irish Castle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
Stallion Station.
At the Stallion Station, and I think he stood for $1,500 or $2,000.
A lot of good horses did at that time.
A lot of good horses. Yeah. That wasn't a stud fee that you would back away from. And he started out in Puerto Rico. They sold Bold Forbes at one of the early paddock sales that Fasig Tipton had. I think at the same sale of 40 odd horses.
I thought he sold out here at as a yearling out at Fasig Tipton.
That's why I said paddock sale, and I meant it at one of their early yearling sales that they had.
I think it was the first one.
Might have been the first one.
Had it in a tent at
what it was.
Don Hardest is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Don Hardest.
And from that sale came Elocutionist, who won the Preakness.
Yeah.
And Bold Forbes, who won the Derby and the Belmont.
Yeah, that was a great start for Fasig Tipton down here.
Oh, it was, to have those horses come out of their first sale. And he started out in Puerto Rico, and then he had won a few races in Puerto Rico, and then they shipped him, the owner shipped Bold Forbes to New York to Laz Barrera.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just brilliantly fast.
Mm-hmm.
And Barrera was able to harness that speed and
won the Belmont with
him.
I had a vote at that time. I was working for the racing farm, and I voted for Laz Barrera for his trainer of the year. I don't think he got it. They gave it to him with a firm, but hell, I could have trained a firm, you know. But to get that horse going mile and a half, that was because he was a speed horse. I mean, he was a fast horse.
And he had Cordero. He had Angel Cordero riding him.
Yeah, well, that didn't hurt.
Who was a good, crafty rider. And
yeah,
he was able to slow the Derby pace down enough. And Honest Pleasure was the odds-on favorite that year. And that was before they had 20 horses running in the Derby. That was, I think, Honest Pleasure scared away most of the competition.
Mm-hmm.
Today, no one would be afraid of running. They want to be in the race. But then they might have had 8 or 10 horses.
Yeah.
And he won the race, which was just an ecstatic experience for everybody.
He almost won the Triple. He ran second. Was he second or third in the Preakness?
I think he was third. They Honest Pleasure didn't let him get out to the easy lead that he got in the Belmont, and they ran each other in the ground and set it up for elocutions.
For elocutions, yeah. I got to take a break and do a commercial. I'll get right back to you, Rick.
Good.
Well, Flatter Sire, the winners of two of the richest stakes of 2012 on September 29 at Belmont. Flat Out won the Grade 1 $1 million Jockey Club Gold Cup. And on October 20, Lucy's Bob Boy won the $500,000 West Virginia Breeders Classic. Flat Out score in the Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup boosted his earnings to over $2 million. He has won that prestigious race 2 years in a row, and incidentally he is one of three runners by Claiborne Sire to win Grade 1 stakes that weekend. Executive Privilege, a two-year-old filly by First Samurai, won the Grade 1 Chandelier Stakes at Santa Anita, and Power Broker by Pulpit won the Grade 1 Front Runner Stakes, also at Santa Anita. Lucy's Bob Boy, one of only 3 2-year-olds in the field of 10, won the West Virginia Breeders Classic by 8 easy lengths. In 10 career starts, he's got 8 wins and 2 seconds, and he's earned nearly $400,000. Flatter by AP Indy, out of praise by Mr. Prospector, stands for $20,000. Live foal at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams, and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business: the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. whatever your insurance needs. If it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners both here and abroad first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
Well, you have yet to decide where to send your yearlings to be broken. Make sure you talk to the folks over at Vinery before you do. Vinery's world-class facilities and superb staff are second to none. They've sent a long list of successful performers to the tracks. As a matter of fact, with locations in Kentucky, Florida, and New York, Vinery's well-equipped to handle your needs in every facet of the thoroughbred industry. Boarding, breeding, sales, and sales prep. Breaking, training, rehabilitation, bloodstock services, plus a highly successful racing partnership program. You're always welcome to visit the farm to inspect the facilities and the stallions, and right now would be a good time to book your mare for 2013. The number here in Kentucky, 455-9388. Just ask for John Gasper, Steve Castanola, Francis Rillahan, or Grant Williamson, and check the website at vinery.com. All righty, well, I'm talking to Rick Wallman, and where did we leave off, Rick? We were talking about Bold Forbes.
We were talking about Bold Forbes and my father and Lee Eaton's long association in owning and breeding horses.
Well, your dad couldn't have got hooked up with anybody better than Lee Eaton.
No, they had
a great horseman and a wonderful person.
Absolutely. He was a great man. He was a great friend. They had
to me too.
They had and Lee, I think, was a friend to everybody. He had a real tribute to Lee is how valuable his name was, that when Riley McDonald bought his agency, he saw the value in keeping the Eaton name.
Absolutely.
Instead of changing it, which everyone else would have changed it to their own name.
Lee was an innovator, too.
He was. You know, I know he was famous for shed raising, and I'm sure other people may have shed raised horses, but Lee got the most out of the reputation for shed raised yearlings, and he would advertise them as such.
Okay, so you went right out of college to Fasig Tipton, is that it?
I didn't, actually. My father was in the liquor business. He was in the retail liquor business in Louisville.
Red Bull Stables.
Red Bull Stables from Red Bull Liquors. And after I got the bug on horses, I wanted to get in the horse business badly. I didn't know where. I didn't know enough about it. I just knew that I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew that I had a feel for it. And he did everything he could to discourage me. And one day when I was working for him in his office, I met a Gallo Wine regional manager. And he recruited me, if you will, to work in Detroit. So right after college, I went to Detroit to work for a distributor that was predominantly a Gallo Wine distributor. It was a great education in marketing. Because in Detroit, wine was sold like Band-Aids or anything else is sold as a consumer product. And it was a very aggressive educational marketing. But it was also, it served to convince me that I wanted to get in the horse business. So I left that and I did something I would never recommend to anyone else. I quit a job before I had my next one.
Yeah.
Because I was just determined I wanted to get in the horse business. And Lee was kind enough to let me live on his farm and work for him and get a feel for the actual hands-on aspect. Yeah. And then he was one that gave me the entree to John Finney, which ultimately led to my job beginning in the horse business.
Mm-hmm. You knew Humphrey Finney too, John's father, I assume.
I just knew him peripherally. He had been retired by that time, and I met him, and but I never worked for him. I worked for John Larry, Larry Enzer mainly in New York.
Yeah, that was Humphrey was I knew him pretty well. When he moved down here, he was living out on Pisgah Pike.
Pisgah Pike, right.
Yeah. So, I wish I'd had a show then to have him on. He could have told some good ones.
Oh, he could. And there were probably better ones that he couldn't tell you.
Well, yeah, I've run into that for several people.
But I would have loved to have worked for him. He's one of the few. We can get into this later. I ultimately ran the Winfield's farm operation, and I never was able to have the pleasure of working for E.P. Taylor. And those were the two great men of the history of the game that I regret not having the associations with. I had some good ones, but I just didn't get those.
Well, is that where you when you left Fasig Tipton, did you go to Winfield?
No, I left Fasig Tipton, and one of your key sponsors, Brereton Jones, called me.
Oh, yeah, Brer.
And offered me a job as a business manager at Airdrie.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved in the early 80s
mm-hmm.
to Airdrie, and I was a business manager there for 3.5 years.
Okay.
And I also had another graduate degree in marketing from Brereton. There's no better marketer in the history of the game than Brereton.
Yeah. Well, he's sharp.
He's just
as nice a person as ever. You know, he's been especially nice to me down through the years, you know. You were there for 3.5 years. Did he have elocutionary at that time?
He did. He had all his top guns. He had Key to the Kingdom, and he had Dance Spell. I think he had that was a serious blow to him to lose Dance Spell when he died. I had To the Quick.
Mm-hmm.
My memory's not, he had the Northfields, he had North Jet.
You've already named a couple I'd forgotten.
Yeah. And there are many more. I mean, I'm going back to the early days. Obviously everybody knows what he's had since then.
Yeah.
And, I stayed there, decided, when Brereton was going to, made his decision that he was going to run for lieutenant governor, he wanted me to, obviously wanted me to be a key person and kind of helping to market
mm-hmm.
as he did, and I just knew I wasn't cut in that mold to be that kind of marketer like
good
he
for
was.
You.
So I left and I started my own consulting business, and from that consulting business everything else was spawned. But it's just, you know, your life takes many twists and turns, I think, of all the moves I didn't make.
Did you go to Maryland from there then?
I didn't, and I never went to Maryland. I just worked out of Kentucky. My first clients as a consultant were First Security Bank, doing appraisals on some of their problem mm-hmm. loans, and Catesby Clay.
Ah.
Catesby Clay approached me right as I was retiring or resigning from Airdrie. And then from that, a good friend of mine was George Blackwell,
mm-hmm.
the well-known bloodstock agent from England.
Oh boy, he was well-known too. He bought some moderately priced horses and that really could run. He was good.
And for some top clients, you know, Niarchos and Judmont and many others, as well as George had bought, and I hope I have this correct, the Dam of Nearctic, Lady Angela,
mm-hmm.
when she was, I believe she was carrying Nearctic. She had a Nearco foal at foot and was back and fold in Nearco, and one of those was Nearctic. I think it was the one she was mm-hmm. carrying was Nearctic. And he had a close relationship with the Taylor family, mm-hmm. and he recommended to Charles Taylor that he hire me. And initially I was just as a consultant to Winfield's from here, and soon after that was I was hired as a consultant. He asked me just to run the entire thoroughbred operation.
Now, did they have Northern Dancer at that time?
We had Northern Dancer at that time, and initially I was planning on moving to Maryland, but it was clear fairly quickly when Northern Dancer had to be retired from breeding nearly at that time, and that they were going to have to close the farm down and move the horses. So we still kept the breeding operation in Canada, but we closed the Maryland operation and moved those horses around. We took the minstrel and deputy minister here to Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And I managed those two horses. Deputy minister, we moved to Fred Seitz's farm.
Oh, what a good one.
And
Silas twice, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And he was well thought of, but not quite well thought of enough. A lot of he didn't have the respect you know, we're going back to 1989. But he sure did earn it quickly. And then we, I moved the minstrel to Overbrook. Because I thought the image of Overbrook, which certainly wasn't then what it ended up being, but it was still that I think it was befitting of an international sire. And I had just started a couple years earlier doing consulting work for Overbrook from a remote location. And initially, when the minstrel was there, my office was elsewhere, and I managed the minstrel administratively, of course, from my office, as well as deputy minister from my office.
And now, did you have anything to do with Crafty Prospector?
No, I had nothing to do. Okay. Fred and I think Rob Whiteley and Jimmy Islin. Brought that horse into Brookdale. We had another horse of Winfield's, a Northern Dancer horse that was highly thought of, named Imperial Falcon, and we moved him to Fred's as well. But he turned out not to be a not to make it, so he went by the wayside, of as most stallions do. And then I, when Overbrook was stepping up their yearling buying program, and in fact in the pipeline they had one of the most exciting prospects I've seen, I think, in my time in the business, a horse named Grand Canyon. Who was a very fast 2-year-old. I think at the time he had run the fastest 2-year-old mile in history at that time, and was second in the Breeders' Cup to Rhythm when they ran it at Gulfstream. But then he came back after that race and won the Hollywood Futurity very fast. Well, Mr. Young saw that he was in the pipeline, and he had stepped up his yearling buying program, and he wanted me to move my office to the farm and manage his stallions. And at that time, Stormcat was was standing his second, I think his third year at stud, and was not popular. And we had the minstrel, of course, that I was managing anyway. And we had Grand Canyon, whom we thought was in the pipeline, and whatever else we were going to buy, as Mr. Young had very specific, aggressive ideas as to what he wanted to do. And it turned out Grand Canyon bowed and then ultimately foundered and died. So we never had a chance to stand him. But then Stormcat became, you know, something Stormcat that no one ever anticipated he would become.
Yeah.
And we just had fun riding that wave.
I guess you and Bob Copeland are good friends.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. In fact, while you were at commercial break, I checked my phone. I had a phone call, and it was from Bob.
Is that right? What a great guy, huh?
He's a wonderful guy. We had great times together. We look forward to meetings, because we'd get a lot done in those meetings, but we'd also have a lot of fun and a lot of laughter.
I've had him on the show. He was fun to talk to.
Oh, he's a wonderful man.
He's a character is what he is.
he ought to be forced to write a book.
He should.
And tell all book, but he'll never do it.
No. Whoops, I got to take another break. I'll get right back to you.
Okay.
First defense is a Sava Breeders' Cup contender in his first crop. Dundanail, after breaking his maiden by 12 lengths, winning the Group 3 Acom Stakes and finishing a closing second, beating a nose in the Group 2 Champagne in Great Britain. He's scheduled to go next in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. He's a runner. And for those of you who saw Silver Strike, a 2-year-old filly by First Defense, win a $50,000 maiden special to Keeneland the other day, you know that Dundanail is not the first crop runner, not the only first crop runner by First Defense. And there are more on the way. First Defense, a grade one winner with brilliant speed. He's by Bridal Song out of Honest Lady, a grade one stakes winner by Seattle Slough, out of a half-sister to Empire Maker. She is a half-sister to Empire Maker, I should say. He stands at Judmont Farm, home also the grade one winner and proven grade one sire, Mizzen Mass. He's by Cozine. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry and see the website at judmontfarm.com. Well, in racing last week, the $100,000 Barbaro Stakes run at Delaware was won by, I don't know if I pronounce this right, but I'm going to call it Stefano C. A colt bred by My Meadowview Farm and raised at Darby Dam. And in West Virginia, Moonlit Malibu, a filly bred by DJ Stables and B. Wayne Hughes,
and Ray's Dispensary Farm won the municipality's handicap, her second stakes win. Both Stephen Oatsea and Moonlit Malibu were raised on products from McCauley Brothers. So congratulations from the first feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse. McCauley's uncompromising insistence in the very finest ingredients processed under the most stringent of quality control standards is the rule, and the performance of athletes raised on their products gives ample testimony to the quality of those products. That said, why don't you talk to the folks at McCauley Brothers about your feeding program? Just call Mike Warren and David Longmire. The number there is 873-3333. Stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. And remember, at McCauley's, it's all about the horse. One more here, and this one's about Jim Fitzgerald, a good buddy of mine, Knott Griffin Farm down in Bourbon County. He's on 460, and he's got that farm for sale, incidentally. Call Tom Biederman and ask him about it. It'd be a great farm to own. What? Yes, dear?
They reduced the price on that farm.
Oh, have they?
I don't know what to, but yes, it's a good buy.
All right.
Well, one on 460.
You won't find a better location or better land than right where it is. It's just about 2 miles off the Paris Bypass on 460. Of course, he owns another farm and that he's built and developed, and that one's not for sale. So
I know.
But it's close by.
He's done that several times.
I know.
Develops one and makes it.
He's another guy. I'm talking to Rick Wallman over here that worked for Lee, Jim Fitzgerald. And he also worked with Dr. Michael Osborne, John Williams. He was a partner, you know, with John Williams, with Lee. And
he worked for Fred Seitz. Jim did. That's where I first met Jim many, many years ago.
Yeah, good horseman.
Top horseman.
Yeah.
Great friendship with him for all these years.
Yeah, we have too. He's a little crazy though. He fox hunts,
but he is crazy. But he's crazy in a lovable way.
Yeah, right. Well, anyway, if you're looking for a great farmer, call Tom Biederman and ask about Knott Griffin. And if you're thinking about getting into the horse business, or you're in the horse business, you're not doing too well, to call Jim Fitzgerald. Let me give you his website. It's Knott Griffin, KnockGriffin farm.com. And he does boarding, sales prep, sales, private, public, you know, whatever, rehab. Got great farm help. He wouldn't tolerate anything but the best. So that's my good friend Jim Fitzgerald, 987-8032 in Bourbon County. All righty, I'm talking to Rick Wallman, who had lucky enough to be associated with a pretty good horse named Stormcat.
Yeah, that was a story that no one saw coming.
Nobody saw it.
A lot has to do with luck, and a lot has to do with timing.
Yeah.
And he started out at, first of all, when he started his career, it was well past his best years. His best year, his best period was as a two-year-old. And he came, I don't know if anyone remembers, but he came within a whisker of being a two-year-old champion. He ran in the, I think, the second Breeders' Cup that they held. It was at Aqueduct.
He was second or third, wasn't he?
He was second. Just got beat at the wire by Tasso.
Okay.
And it's interesting, if you look at that crop of horses that he came from, there was Tasso, Groovy, Mogambo, Danzig Connection, and I may stand corrected on this, but I think I'm right, and Stormcat.
Mm-hmm.
And you heard historically that sires come from crops, you know, that they always talk about a good crop of sires.
Yeah.
And that was one crop where there was one good sire.
Yeah, those other horses you named were kind of disappointments.
They were kind of and he was just a top sire. But he led every step of the way in the Breeders' Cup and just got past at the wire. And that was his two-year-old year. And then he had injuries, and they kept trying to bring him back. So he didn't start breeding until I think he was five, which would have been 1988. I think first crop 1989. And he was forgotten by the public as quickly as we do forget. It's a "what have you done for me lately" kind of mentality.
Yeah.
And the farm stood him. I wasn't. In fact, I recommended the farm stand him for half of what he first stood
what
for.
What was his fee?
His first fee was $30,000.
$30,000?
Uh-huh. And and he wasn't popular, and they did whatever they could to get mares to him, as one would have to do when the horse is not popular. In fact, after I started and we were looking at his first crop that was going to sell, we went and looked at all the foal sharings, because that's what you end up having to do when you overprice a sire. And we did whatever we could to keep the bad ones off the market. We'd give our ownership to the partner with the proviso that they don't sell a horse at the auction. And still his yearlings only averaged 40-some-odd thousand, 47,000 or whatever it was. So we had to struggle through another year with his fourth crop trying to get mares to him. We had dropped his fee, but once you overprice a stallion, you never seem to drop him enough. You can't nibble down. You really have to take a big swing and go exaggerate it to the other direction. Mm-hmm. So in hindsight, he should have been 10,000 his next year. And then you make peace with everyone who paid the 30, the few that did. But however, it ended up, and he was 20,000.
You didn't have to worry about it.
Didn't have to worry about it. He took off, and I think every year we raised his fee but one. And we kept it, when he got to 150, we kept it at 150 for two straight years. And we raised it every year until he got to 500,000.
Yeah.
He was fortunate that the market bottomed just before his first crop ran.
Yeah.
And then he rose the growth of the market from the early 90s up until the 2000s.
Yeah.
And then his sons became successful at stud, and one thing just helped the other, and it just took off.
Great sire of sires.
He was a great sire of sires. He was a great story. It was on both sides of the water, so the Europeans liked him. And
there haven't been many horses like that, you know, that was as popular as he on both sides, you know.
That's right.
Yeah, you have
Northern Dancer. You know, Northern Dancer is a great story. And that's what it takes for a sire to get up into the stratosphere with stud fee is to be that popular on both sides. You really have to broaden your customer base. And he did. And all the big thinkers, all the big picture players in the business wanted some part of Stormcat.
Yeah.
When we sold lifetime breeding rights to Stormcat as he got further along in his stud career and mortality insurance became unaffordable, we decided to lay off some of the horse without giving up ownership, and we sold lifetime breeding rights.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the first person in line to buy the lifetime breeding rights is the guy who's typically the smartest guy in the room, and that's John Magner.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he bought 13 breeding rights.
Is that right?
The first year we sold him, and then the next year we sold 12 more. And Darley and all the other top breeders, Windstar, all the other top breeders, bought them then. And so we had 25 breeding rights that were out into the public.
Yeah.
And fortunately, all of the breeding right holders bred to them enough years that it looked like a good deal for them, as opposed to paying the $500,000 stud fee.
What did you limit? What was the biggest book that he ever covered?
I think the biggest book was 118.
Is that right? Yeah.
And we allowed the stallions to limit themselves, you know, as to how many they would breed. And because Mr. Young didn't want to leave any money on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if Stormcat at that time could have bred more comfortably without endangering him, we probably would have. But it just turned out it was 118.
Yeah. Okay.
And we usually had, I think almost every year, we had more demand for the services than we had supply.
Yeah. Wow.
Which was a nice problem to have.
Oh, yeah. Beats the other way, doesn't it?
Well, it allowed us to keep raising that stud fee.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
And in Mr. Young's mind, that was the measurement of success, is if we could keep raising that stud fee.
Yeah. Now, you're still at Overbrook, aren't you?
I am. I'm fortunate that I still have my office and I still live there. I moved my family to the farm in 92. I moved my office there in 90. I moved my family to the farm in 92.
You've been there 20 years.
I've been there 20 years and living in the same house. And the horses are different, and now we have tenants at the farm. We have a lot of good tenants who lease all the barns and pasture space.
Yeah.
I still walk my dogs there just about every day, 2 or 3 miles a day.
Well, what are you doing now?
I still, when I left Airdrie in the 80s and I started my consulting business, all of the other jobs that I held at Winfield's in charge of their thoroughbred operations and at Overbrook managing their stallions were still under the umbrella of my of my consulting business. So to this day, I still have my consulting business in operation. It's leaner and trimmer and more manageable.
Mm-hmm.
I was.
Well, you brought a great resume for it. Yeah, no doubt about that.
I've had some wonderful clients and long-term clients, and I'm comfortable with the number. And I
well, the people you've been associated
great
with
association.
Through your life, you know.
It's when
starting with your daddy, bred a Kentucky Derby winner. That doesn't get any better than that, does it?
Are you going to write a book?
No, I don't think
it'd
be.
You should.
I don't think it'd be. I had somebody, I was telling Ursula this the other day, I had somebody that said I should have been writing a diary all this time. And I thought, well, maybe I'll sit down and I'll try to recollect everything.
But because you were gosh, you're in on all of it.
Well, I was in on a fair bit. And the timing was good. You know, I was fortunate to make the right turns and miss the wrong turns in certain.
So you could do a how to book.
Well, or how not to, but you know, the wonderful thing about this industry, I mean, obviously the horses, it all centers around the horses, but the people. I've had associations and friendships with some just top-notch people in this business. Mm-hmm. And this industry seems to attract an awful lot of high-quality people, from Bob Copeland to Fred Seitz. You know, we haven't even talked about these people, and I've had long-term friendships with these people.
Yeah, it's fun. A lot of characters, too.
Oh, great characters. My gosh, the characters that... well, when I was in New York, you know, where is today's Johnny Campo?
I don't
know. You know, when you think of some of these characters are... You know, when they talk about this guy doing this with horses and that with horses, and my mind turns to Oscar Barrera. Mm-hmm. You know, Oscar Barrera would claim a horse today, and he'd have it in the entries, and it'd be running in 3 days. He'd be stepping it up, and it would win. And, you know, just some fabulous characters.
Yeah.
Just, it's a wonderful industry that attracts people from all walks of life.
Yeah, it sure does. Well, I'm going to let you go. Listen, I appreciate you.
Come back anytime.
Yeah.
A lot of good stories.
Well, thank you.
We'll pick it up somewhere down the line and start telling lies.
Well, hopefully we haven't today.
Oh, no, we haven't. Rick, thank you so much. It's Rick Wallman.
Thank you, Ursula.
And I really appreciate it, Rick. It's fun talking to you. I'm glad I bumped into you the other day.
Yeah, we'll do it again.
Let's keep in touch.
Okay.
Thanks. All righty. Thank you. Well, Gypsy Robin, a 3-year-old filly from the first small test crop by De Hare, won Keeneland's Grade 2 $250,000 Lexus Raven Run Stakes last Saturday. No contest. Breaking from the number 10 post position in the field of 13, Gypsy Robin led from wire to wire. Posted fractions of 22, 45, and 1, 109 and 1, 121 and 3. Just missed the track record by 4/5 of a second. And she won as she pleased by widening 4 lengths. Bred by Cloris Clark Jr. and trained by Wesley Ward, Gypsy Robin has also won the Grade 2 Beaumont Stakes at Keeneland, the inaugural Stakes at Presque Isle, the Sorority Stakes at Monmouth. She was a game second in the Grade 1 test at Saratoga. She's earned $498,000. De Hare, our Grade 1 Stakes winner with brilliant speed, is the son of Awesome Again, the only winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic to sire a winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic. Awesome Again has sired 12 Grade 1 winners, including a Horse of the Year. He is nationally ranked again this year with the earners of $5,600,000, including 2 Grade 1 Stakes winners. De Hare stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquires to stallion manager Kent Barnes and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
The American Protocol 859-223-4444.
Well, the first Fools by Classic winner, Super Saver, if I can say it, Super Saver, or Wienings. Starting with the Phasic Tipton sale on November 5, you'll have a chance to look some of them over. Hip number 47 is a half-sister to a Grade 2 Stakes winner, and hip number 175 in that sale is a colt out of a young full sister to a Grade 3 Stakes winner. Super Saver is all the qualities required for success at stud. He's won graded stakes as a juvenile, taking the Grade 2 Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes at Churchill Downs. Following year, he returned to Churchill to win a Grade 1 Kentucky Derby. Super Saver is one of two Kentucky Derby winners sired by the ill-fated Maria's Mon. Died much too young, but in his brief career, Eclipse Award winner Maria's Mon sired 9 Grade 1 Stakes winners, 2 Classic winners, a champion filly. And just last Sunday at Keenan Upper Line, a daughter of Maria's Mon won the Rudin Riddle Dowager Stakes. Super Saver's dam is by A.P. Indy, and his first four dams are all Grade 1 producers, great pedigree, loaded with sire power. So take a good look at Super Saver's first crop weaning. And for more information, contact Jerry Duffy or Leanna Packard at Windstar Farm. Check the website, windstarfarm.com. All right, I believe I have Mr. Steve Moody with us today. Steve, where were you last week? We tried and called and called and called, couldn't wake you up.
I guess that must have been it, Ursula.
Well, you were honest anyway. All right. Well, the feature out at Keeneland today is the, what the heck is the feature out there today anyway? The Fayette, isn't it? Yeah, Fayette. What does it look like?
Well, it's a pretty good race, Ursula. We got a field of eleven going in the Fayette. This, of course, 3-year-olds and up, going a mile and an eighth. And I think there's 3 or 4 in here that you have to take a look at. The One Horse Guy's Reward, 5-1 on the morning line. Dale Romans trains him. He's been a very solid performer, although he's been mostly a turf runner. But if he handles, a lot of times these turf horses like to switch to synthetic, and if he handles that move today, I think you got to give him a pretty good look at it. The 3-horse Nikki Sandcastle, sort of the same deal. Turf specialist, does have a poly track record. It's not been good. He's winless in 5 tries, but the last time he was on poly track, he just missed. So I don't know that you could, I don't think you can rule him out. He certainly, his form is extremely sharp right now. And, based on that last poly track race, I think you have to take a long look at him. The 5-horse Take Charge Indy, of course was back on the Derby trail. He would, matter of fact, he was my Derby pick. Sad to say, backed up after being in a perfect spot after 3/4 of a mile, but he can run on a lead off the pace. He's got a chance in here, 3-1, and then the 6 horse Salto. This horse was extremely impressive, I thought, last time out at Keeneland. He switched to he's been a turf horse. They switched him to the poly track, couple of weeks ago, two Saturdays ago, matter of fact. He came from off the pace and just won about as easy as you could win. And, he moves up the ladder, of course, into a stakes race today. But, I think he's got a big chance there. If he runs back to that race, from 2 weeks ago, I think he's got a big chance. And then, the 7-horse Golden Yank, the horse has tactical speed, and, I think he's going to be right there when the field turns for home. He's a big price, 15-1, and I think he's definitely could get part of this thing in here. I'm going to go with the 6-horse Ursel Salto. I was really impressed with the way he ran, in that first time out at Keeneland. And even though he's moving up in class today, I think if he runs back to that race, he can make it two in a row. I'm going to take Nicky Sandcastle, the three horse, in the two spot. Even though he's 0-5 on poly track, he did run really well on it his last one, and I think he's worth a look. And then the other horse with the price of the 7 Golden Yank, throw him in there for third. So we'll go 6-3-7. In Fayette to close it out there at Keeneland today.
All righty. Well, it picked an Irish bread. But that's all right, Steve. I appreciate it. This has been Steve Moody with the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, published by Bloodstock Research Information Services. You can buy that at the track or go online and get it. That's brisnet.com. And our, I think probably wherever they sell a racing form. Isn't that right, Steve?
I think that's right, Ursula.
I think I got you covered. Okay, thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right, Ursula.
Talk to you next week. Well, 'tis wonderful sign runners, first crop two-year-olds, include My Happy Face, who broke her maiden by 21 1/4 lengths at Saratoga, then dropped a head-bobbing decision to the 1-9 shot Dreaming of Julia in the Grade 1 Frisette. They may mate again in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. Another promising filly is Scamoni. She won first time out in a maiden special at Churchill, then came right back, shipped in to place in $100,000 stakes. Then there's Wild Billum, who broke his maiden first time out by 5 in a maiden special at Laurel on October 19th, and Flow Money winning his second start of a maiden special at Arlington. All told, 'tis wonderful, aside 7 winners. Here's an interesting stat. 11 others have placed, and of the 11 that have placed, eight did so in their very first starts, and the remaining 3 in their second starts. So the 'tis wonderfuls are all running in good company at major tracks with a prominent Breeders' Cup contender in his first crop. An undefeated multiple graded stakes winner is a 2-year-old at Churchill Downs and a son of Hall of Famer 'tis now. 'Tis now sire of another stakes winner last weekend and currently a top 10 sire by North American Earnings. 'Tis wonderful is at Spendthrift Farm. Now's the time to book for 2013. Get in touch with Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Fell, and Ed Toffee. 294-0030. See the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. Righty. Well, I've got to take care of my good friend David Schweitzer over to KTA, and he likes us to announce the breeders of stakes winners from Kentucky Bred stakes winners from the previous weekend, and the Gypsy Robin won the Lexus Raven Run Stakes. She's by De Herr, bred by D.C. Clark Jr. Of course, De Herr stands over at Shadwell Farm. Boy, that's a good-looking filly. She's got a rear end on her like a quarter horse. I mean, yeah, she's a man. She's got some gas too, let me tell you. Let's see. Yeah. Ms. Ida won the Pin Oak Valley View Stakes. Ms. Ida is a by Proud Citizen, bred by Bert Lane and Richard Klein. A Proud Citizen, of course, top horse standing over at Barry Jones's Airdrie Stud. The Kindergarten Kid won the Sycamore Stakes, Grade 3 at Keeneland. He's bred by Alexander Groves and Matz. The Jean Lafitte Stakes, how about that?
Oh, that was big time.
You like that, huh?
I love
it. Well, that's a $200,000 race, and Burn Identity won that, bred by Petalua Bloodstock and Andre Lynch. And Cross Haven Bloodstock and Galleria Bloodstock. Andre works down at Ashford Stud, of course. We have him on the show a couple of times. Yeah. He's a young man that goes to, I don't know if he is now, but he used to go to Argentina with those studs down there in South America when they said studs. Nice guy. The Grade 3 Durham Cup at Woodbine went to Delegation. He's a Spitestown. He's bred by Tom and Elizabeth Baxter. Spitestown, of course, at Windstar Farm. The My Trusty Cat Stakes, Madam Cactus won that, bred by Mr. and Mrs. Mark
See Farrell, the rude and riddle Dowager Stakes out of Keenan. Upper Line, a five-year-old mare by Maria's Mon, bred by Stoner Side Stables. The Endine Stakes at Delaware went to Nicole H., bred by the JMJ Racing Stables. The Ruling Angel Stakes, which was run at Woodbine. Silent Serenity, bred by Jay Kirk and Judy Robinson. The Barbaro Stakes at Delaware Park went to Stephen Oates C., by AP Indy, bred by My Meadowview Farm. The DTHA Governor's Day Stakes at Delaware, Win Willie won that, bred by Overbrook Farm. That's a Monarchos, by the way. The First Responder Stakes at Parks went to Rush Now. He's by Tiz Now, the great Tiz Now over at Windstar. Chris and Kurt Cahill. I read that one. The Frank Poncho Martin Stakes winner was Hymnbook. He's by Art, who stands at Claiborne, bred by Stuart S. Janney III, so he was foaled at Claiborne also. The George Rosenberger Memorial Stakes at Delaware, Brian's Jewel, bred by Peter Van Andel. And I believe that might be it. Maybe unless it was something abroad. Yeah. The Irish Stallion Farms EBF Star Appeal Stakes went to Lions of Battle, and that's a colt. He's by Warfront. Bred by Joseph Allen, of course, Warfront, stands at Claiborne, and Mr. Allen Boyd's over there also. All right, Jackie.
Dutcher has arrived.
Dutcher is here.
Dutcher, hi, Dutcher. Has entered the building.
With a goodie in his hand. What are you eating?
Your donut.
My donut. You eating my donut? Give me my... He just said my donut.
Mine.
All right.
Today, unfortunately, I mean, for whatever, because the weather stinks, it's a CKRH Halloween trail ride today.
Yeah.
Ugh, and use tax sale and ride-a-thon. So maybe there'll be some hardy souls. The rain's gone, period. So maybe there'll be some people to ride from 12 till 3.
I know the rain's gone.
I looked at the radar.
Oh.
Got any other questions? Weisenheimer. Oh, it's such a fun thing, and they all dress up, and they wear costumes for Halloween. Oh, and Halloween show is tomorrow at the horse park. They dress up, and headless horsemen, and all that kind of stuff. So that's fun to look at. Tomorrow also is Kathy Murphy Stables Hunter Pace. That's starts at 1 tomorrow, 660 Grimes Mill Road. They have the Haunted Hurdles Pace, which is for jumpers, the Zippy Zombie Pace, the Creepy Crawly Pace, Costume Class on Horseback, and Lead Line Hunter Pace. So if you want, listen, she donates the profits to St. Jude's, which is a really wonderful place. So if you need more information, you can call Kathy, 527-6548. Brisnet, for $25, you can get the Ultimate Breeders' Cup Handicapping Package. You get the preview and analysis, pre-entry, ultimate past performances, spotlight selections, and so on. So just go to brisnet.com. I also want to thank, of course, for the Acceler Fund, Sally Van. They're unbelievable. I mean, they just, somebody needs something, and there, by golly, they're there. And my trailer needs to be worked on, so I'm going to be calling you. But they're the best. Okie dokie, 27th, Oktoberfest Horse Trials. Tomorrow for sure. Next week is this is the weekend is the Halloween camp out. Alltech National Horse Show starts the 30th. This is used to be one of the biggest horse shows, the big horse show in the United States. They haven't done enough to publicize it. They don't have many people sitting there. Didn't last year. It runs for 5 days. If you can get out, this is the biggie, the McClay Hands Championship. It's tremendous. So anyway, hopefully it's historic, it's a big deal, and people need to get out there. So that's about it for me.
All right, we've got a couple of minutes. Oh, well, I've got an announcement. We're on early next week.
Yes, and I'll put this up, hopefully, UrsulellisHorseTales.com.
Okay, so we'll be on from
9 to 11
again next week. Winners from out of here, trained by, during the last week, Eduardo Cavamori, Oscar Modica, Kellen Gordo, John Langemeyer, and Matt Frazier, saddling another quarter horse winner up at Hoosier. Matt's on his way as we're speaking now. He's running, I think, at three different tracks. He had two different tracks. There's a stakes race at Beulah Park for quarter horses. He's going to Hoosier. And he ran one yesterday at Prairie Meadows, ran third. And so he does really good with those things.
Oh, he does. Yeah. He's a good trainer. Nice guy, too.
Yeah. How much time we got left, Rissy?
About a minute.
A minute? Well, I hear that music in the background. That means it's we can check out, I guess. I want to thank Rick Wallman for coming by. He was fun to talk to.
Excellent interview.
Yeah. So good. Well, when you get somebody sharp.
Hey, thanks to Matt for loaning me a fence feeder.
Oh,
my
okay.
Fence feeders look cheap next to this thing. This is a Cadillac of fence feeders.
All right.
Hi, Dutchie. You'll come up and talk.
Love, Dutchie didn't want to. He's got a mouthful of donut.
Well, say hi.
Say hi.
Huh? He says, uh-uh.
We've got to say bye-bye. Thank you, Mary Jane. Thank you, Rissy. We'll talk to you next week. Who cares about